everyone, and welcome to this episode of Yellow Bee Pod. Woo! I'm Natalie. I'm a British-born Chinese woman based in London. This podcast highlights the stories of East and Southeast Asian diaspora, the goods and the bads. Thank you so much for tuning back in if you've checked us out before. Really, really appreciate everyone who is listening to this and also sharing it with their friends. Today's episode will be a slightly different style of podcast. I don't have a guest that I'm interviewing or chatting to, but I do have a few different contributors who you will hear from later. And the podcast ends with a poem, which is worth sticking around for. So this episode is all about the increased racism that has been reported since the start of 2020, and it's related to COVID-19. I'll be sharing some of my experiences and feelings, and I'll also be hearing from others within the East and Southeast Asian communities. These communities have been affected basically since right at the start of 2020, and that includes diaspora communities, so those who don't live in Asia now, and people like myself who are living in the UK. And if I'm honest, I wasn't really planning on doing an episode on this topic because I don't feel like I have the experience to or the tools to, and I definitely don't want to be speaking on behalf of the community. But over the last 2 weeks, several different listeners have messaged me. They've messaged me to mention their experiences with COVID-19 related racism. And they told me why they think it's particularly important to hear Asian voices in this time. So I didn't think it was right to have a sort of Asian-based podcast without talking about it. It seems to be something which is in the forefront of people's minds, especially right now, as 2020 has, it's been a wild year. I mean, when I was setting my New Year's resolutions, I didn't exactly plan for there to be a global pandemic, but I mean, who knew? Who knew that this was going to happen? So since the start of the year, people of East and Southeast Asian descent have seen increased racism, and that goes right from microaggressions, so really small race-fueled actions, all the way to physical and violent acts. I'm sure you've seen some of these awful stories and reports, and maybe even some awful videos. And at some point earlier in the year, we were talking about when coronavirus is over, when this all ends and we go back to normal life, da da da. But I think it's pretty clear to us now that when things do change, when restrictions get lifted and when we're in a better situation, it still won't go back to exactly how it was before. It still won't go back to normal. It'll go back to a new normal, whatever that is. People love using that phrase, new normal. And the new normal, it does include, or it will include, COVID-19 related racism. So I'm going to go into talking about some of the stories and experiences, also some of my own opinions. But I would love to hear from people who are listening to this. If you have things that you would like to share, things that resonated with you, experiences you had, and also anything you disagree with me on. In the UK, there has been lots of different reports about how BAME communities, so Black, Asian and minority ethnic communities, have been affected by coronavirus. And I think it was The Guardian who said that. Let me get this right. So this report came out earlier this year. It said that ethnic minorities were overrepresented in the coronavirus deaths compared to the proportion that BAME people make up of the general population in England. They could be down to a whole range of different reasons, and it probably is a whole range of different reasons stacked up together. And I think the government will be doing an investigation into sort of why that is. Of course, we know that there is racism and discrimination across all different types of minority groups. It is our responsibility to call out racist sentiments. For example, there are some anti-Black sentiments in parts of Asia. For example, there's been a lot of reports of discrimination in China against people of African descent living there. And anti-Black sentiments exist not just in Asia, but in also parts of Asian diaspora communities. And I'm not trying to silence that, because it is so important to call it out and 100% our responsibility. But that's not what this episode will be about. It's also key to remember that the stuff that's going on in China, it often has zero, absolutely nothing to do with the people living in, like, where I'm based in the UK, for example. And even if someone is from Chinese descent, doesn't mean that they're connected to China. like at all. I would really hope that people wouldn't blame me or accuse me for things that are happening in China just because they see that I'm Chinese. So yeah, it is important to call out all discrimination, but the conversation in this episode will focus specifically on the COVID-19 related racism that affects people of East and Southeast Asian descent. Doing this episode because I think it's really, really important to talk about. A lot of people out there don't think that it's possible to be anti-Asian or racist against Asians. Like, people genuinely think that, which is not true. And where we're at now, it seems like that sort of xenophobia is increasing, not decreasing. At the start of the year, I thought it would just be an increase for a short amount of time and then die down a little, but now I realize it's not going anywhere and it will be part of our lives going into the new normal later this year and beyond into the future. I'm really keen to push the dialogue about this, so please connect with us on Twitter and Instagram at yellowbpod, or if you prefer to email, the email address is yellowbpod@gmail.com. Taking it all the way back to the start of coronavirus, I first heard about it pretty much right at the start of the year. I knew that the outbreak was in China, first and foremost, and it's crazy to think how much has changed since then. Like, at the start of the year, I had never used the words social distancing before. I didn't use the words like lockdown, unprecedented times, new normal, all of these phrases which we're just used to saying now. It's so weird how it's become just part of our everyday lives. And I remember the first thing that I noticed was people commenting on Asian people wearing masks. And well, I mean, Asian people have been wearing masks for a long time. And for me, like living in London, my understanding was that masks were normally worn by people who were sick, who didn't want to pass on their germs to other people, you know, fair enough. And some people might also wear masks because they don't want to breathe in the London pollution. Again, fair enough. And it's also, I would definitely associate it with like young Korean celebrities. You know, like when celebrities get paparazzi'd at the airport, but they want to hide their face, so they wear a baseball cap and sunglasses. And the Korean celebrities, often they wear a mask as well because they don't want to be photographed just when they've got off a plane or when they're trying to hide a relationship. Right at the start of the year, like those sort of face masks weren't as common as they are now. As people started talking more and more about China as the virus spread, it also spread a lot of ignorance, a lot of xenophobia and a lot of racism. Since the start of the year, I mean, I've actually had to or wanted to mute some of the group chats that I'm in because they were sharing a lot of like coronavirus memes and jokes, but some of them were not really jokes. They weren't really funny. They were actually just racist, which was a bit, yeah, it made me feel uncomfortable to like be in those group chats. And some of the Asian focused Instagram pages that I follow, they were sharing things like videos of violent attacks. And the police, like in lots of different countries, actually, they reported a surge in the cases of different types of racism, including like physical abuse, assault, that was specifically targeting members of the Chinese community. I think something important to highlight is that this is not an issue that only affects people of Chinese descent. There are lots of East Asians and Southeast Asians who get mistaken for being Chinese and are also vulnerable to these sorts of attacks, whether it's verbal, physical, sometimes it's vandalism, and yeah, it's just a lot of racism. So yeah, on Instagram, I started seeing more and more pictures circulated of like people after they were beat up, people having like boiling water thrown on them, or people getting attacked in the streets just while they're trying to live their normal life. I just unfollowed some of these pages that were sharing this content because I found it really uncomfortable to see, like a bit triggering, to be honest. Like it's scary, you know, it's scary to think that there's people out there treating other human beings like that. But at the time, I thought, okay, this is nothing new. There's always like racist attacks and it might be increasing. But if I just, you know, if I close my eyes to it, it will cease to exist or it will disappear, which is obviously not true. But I thought, yeah, if I turned a blind eye, I wouldn't, and I wasn't exposing myself to it, it would be as if it wasn't happening. I think a lot of, I don't even know the right word for it, so like racism, abuse, assault, whatever you want to call it, it may have been like acts of violence that would happen anyway, but definitely in some of these videos you can hear people calling out like racist slurs, like calling people chinks, which some people call the C word, but the C word is definitely something else, so I'm just going to say it, chinks, which is a racist slur. And that's not really helps because like there's a lot of comedians making jokes about it in like a racist way. There's politicians or like even like Donald Trump calling it the Chinese virus, sort of pushing the agenda that Chinese people are dirty and disease ridden and to blame. Like ultimately that's what it seems like, that they are putting the blame onto China and Chinese people as a whole. So I think calling it the Chinese virus is, it's not just a case of, oh, we're naming it after where it's from, but it can really spur on violence and tension and aggression towards the communities, which is unnecessary, to be honest. I also heard that someone in American politics called it Kung Flu, which, to be honest, is kind of funny, but it's only funny if it's, maybe if a Chinese person has said that, I would have been able to laugh at it, because, you know, it's quite a funny way of putting it. But because it was someone who was not Asian, someone who was in a position of power and influence, it's not really funny. We've got different names. We can call it COVID-19, COVID or coronavirus. I think calling it the Chinese virus is a bit, yeah, it just increases like certain groups being marginalized. And of course, you're thinking, I care about this because I'm Chinese and I care about my own selfish needs. That is true. But also, I think we can appreciate that we can't, that we shouldn't blame anyone of Chinese descent just because they look like they might be Chinese for causing the coronavirus. Like, I don't think that's going to really help the situation in any country. Like, if anything, we need to be providing some unity, working together. Yes, there should be inquiries into how it happened so that we can stop it from happening again. But I don't think putting blame on certain groups of people is really going to help anyone. A lot of the jokes, well, pretty much all the jokes that came out at the start of the year was about how coronavirus started from people eating wild animals, eating bats, and there were loads of like weird videos and stuff circulating, which is literally no surprise to me. Like, anyone who is Chinese, or actually most people in the Asian diaspora, I would say, they know that there's these sort of jokes about Asian people eating weird food, eating gross food, just because it's different. Like, we've known this since day one. I've probably known this since I was like 5 years old, that people make jokes about Chinese people eating dogs, Chinese people eating weird food. There's even there's an American sitcom, Fresh Off the Boat, which some of you might be familiar with. It's about a Taiwanese American family growing up in the 90s in Florida. And there's this episode where his mum is packing his lunchbox, his lunch for his school day. And then he's like, I don't want Chinese lunch. I want white people food. And I always remember that line because, yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that because kids are ruthless and they tease each other for all sorts of things. But a big thing that a lot of Asian people living in the West have experienced is being made fun of for their food or what people think that they're eating. And I mean, we could talk about why people shouldn't be eating meat and the impact of meat consumption on the planet. I mean, I feel like that's a whole other different conversation. So let's just skip over that for today. Yeah, a lot of people were putting the cause of coronavirus down to the wet market in China, which apparently sell wild animals, which I don't really understand, to be honest. Like, I don't understand which animals get defined as wild and which ones get defined as, like, domesticated or okay to eat. Like, who decided that? I remember, I don't know, it was like in 2013 or something, quite a while ago, like in the UK, they found out that some food being sold in British supermarkets had like horse meat in it, like horse DNA. It was this huge scandal. But ultimately, like, who defined like what food is socially acceptable to eat and which ones are not? Like, what's the difference between a cow and a horse? Okay, I know that there's a difference, but obviously I know there's a difference, but like, who defined like which animals are okay to eat? And ultimately, a wet market, I mean, I feel like the term wet market sounds a bit, they make it seem like, oh yeah, wet markets are so bad, they're full of diseases and they're so dirty. But actually, a wet market is just a market that sells, you know, meat, fish, other food. And like, we have those in England, we have wet markets in England, we have wet markets across Europe, across the whole world. And you know what, they're all a bit gross, they all smell. I mean you have loads of fresh meat and fish there, it's gonna smell, they all smell, and they're all a bit gross. But I mean, it might seem strange to us in the UK that some people in China might buy, sell, eat foods that we consider to be wild animals. But I mean, who gets to define what a normal cuisine is, what a normal food is? I don't know. But yeah, the whole Chinese people eat dogs thing is so overdone. Like, I might not hear this now as an adult, but I definitely did when I was a kid. And even though I don't hear it now, that stereotype still exists. It 100% still exists. And it literally took 2 minutes for it to completely come back in a new form of like racist quote marks jokes. And it's just that now it's in the form of memes. I don't want to make this episode too like data or information heavy. Like, you can go and read those articles. But just in case there's some people listening who didn't actually know that there's an increase in reports of racist attacks. So The Guardian reported back in March that many Chinese students feel like the issue of the mask is the single biggest cultural shock they have ever experienced in the UK. So they found that, but from wearing masks, they were becoming targets for racists. And again, yeah, a lot of people wear masks so they don't spread their germs to other people. They're being considerate. And I hope people understand that now that masks are in the mainstream. They're not just worn by Asian people, and they're not just worn like for a trend. Earlier this year, Asian businesses in the UK, they reported that they were having less customers because people were avoiding Asian businesses, thinking that they were somehow connected to the coronavirus or that customers might catch a disease there. There was polling reported about 2 months ago, which said that 54% of Brits believe that China is to blame for the coronavirus. So it really is down to like putting blame on people. And I have a quote from Sarah Allen, who is an MP and also the chair of Chinese for Labour. She wrote that, I'm going to quote, "The British Chinese and East Asian community are as worried for the well-being of ourselves, our families, our neighbours and our society as everyone else, but they have an additional fear, that of racist attacks, prejudice and social shunning." And that's so something that I 100% agree with. Like, we are all scared, we are all stressed, we are all worried about our health and our family's health, etc. People who are of Chinese descent or get mistaken for being Chinese, they have like that additional fear of like being judged by other people or even being attacked. And if this is the first time you're hearing about this, if you're surprised to hear that there's been an increased number of attacks on Asian communities, maybe it means that you're not hearing enough like Asian diaspora voices. So, you know, keep listening to this podcast. To provide you with some experiences other than my own, I sat down with Su Wen Liu. Su Wen is a Malaysian Chinese student who is currently residing in London while she completes her history undergraduate studies. Su Wen wrote about xenophobia and the coronavirus for Overachiever magazine, which is a platform for all Asian women. She shared her feelings about coronavirus and what motivated her to write the piece.
So COVID-19 racism makes me feel two main emotions. So the first one is really confused, because I don't get why people are incriminating innocent people and blaming them for something they didn't even do. I just don't get the logic behind it. And I also don't understand how that's going to solve any of our problems. I feel like this whole situation, it has something been really traumatic, and it's become disordered into something personal, but in a political context. And those two things have become almost the same thing, which is why it's so dangerous, because people become misinformed with the wrong ideas about different cultures, and they start to lack empathy without actually seeing that these are real people who are also suffering. And that leads onto my next emotion, I guess, which is also really angry, because in my opinion, we're all going through the same situation right now. You know, the circumstances are the same for all of us. Like, we have different experiences, but at the end of the day, we're, you know, going through similar feelings of uncertainty and fear, especially. And we can't use fear as an excuse to hurt other people. I follow a lot of accounts on Instagram and Facebook that, you know, talk about Asian equality and activism. And these past few months, every single day when I wake up and scroll through my feed, all I see is racism and all these terrible things happening around the world. And it's just constantly every day bombarding me, and to a point where I couldn't even look at the news or like look at all these things, because it was just, I couldn't believe that it was happening. And the pandemic is already challenging enough, and yet people want to spend their time violating other people because they just want to find someone to blame, to have to worry about going out and, you know, getting your groceries or going for a run and not being able to feel safe in your own skin. Like, I just don't get what kind of attitudes that not allowing people the freedom to be themselves and to be safe, you know, within themselves just because they've become associated with an unfair political agenda. And I also wanted to write this because I wanted people to feel less alone and to feel like they were being heard and that they were being seen by someone, because it makes them feel validated and more included, and that, most importantly, it's real.
You can find a link to Sue Wynn's full article on xenophobia and the coronavirus in the show notes below, but here is Sue Wynn reading just a few lines from her article.
From verbal attacks to direct physical conflict, these incidents from very different parts of the world all have a basic overarching similarity. This is a misconception of fear, which has been used to sustain a violation of human rights. It is extremely alarming that these matters are not being taken more seriously, especially when individuals who appear to be Chinese or who wear masks are being justified as scapegoats for the wider public's frustrations.
I also spoke to Stephanie So, who is a Birmingham-based British Asian with heritage from Vietnam and Malaysia. Stephanie has conducted a survey for people to share their experiences and feelings about coronavirus and COVID-19 related racism. She shares some of the stories from people who responded to her survey.
I decided to conduct a survey just so then I could understand more what people were going through and have an insight of people's experiences. In particular, I wanted to talk about a teacher, a Vietnamese girl who was training to be a teacher living in Birmingham, who had kids in her form make a bet on how long she would live before the virus would infect her and when she would drop dead, which was absolutely shocking. It turned into an ongoing joke and she tried to ignore it. She said that it definitely got worse every day. And even when there was a school assembly announcement on treating people respectfully, the message wasn't made clear and it didn't make an impact at all. They found it hilarious if someone had to end up sitting next to me on the bus and it turned into a tag game of that pupil being infected and passing it on to others on the playground. And she also said it seemed like I couldn't really go into any classroom without the mention of the word China, and it was uncomfortable for myself and other staff in the room who evidently weren't trained on how to deal with racial bullying. When I approached senior leadership about it, they dismissed it as childish jokes, banter, and it was just lighthearted and not meant to offend. But to have to deal with it every day before, during, and after my work made my placement horrid. She says, with the added tensions of the pandemic, it seems not only children, but adults are revealing their own prejudices and racist attitudes. It's definitely concerning that the government have not addressed the rise in hate crimes enough.
She also shares a story from a British Chinese person living in London who encountered racism while they were at a supermarket.
There were a group of three girls and they were screaming, "Ew, no, I need to get away." And they were saying this to each other. But obviously, when you think about the context, it's so obvious that it was implied towards these two Asian people who were just out shopping for their groceries. And this person actually said back to them, "Excuse me, do you know you're being racist?" And they were running away. And she actually persisted and went for them and said, "Why are you running away?" And she said, "Just because we look Asian, do you think that everyone who looks Asian immediately has the coronavirus? Do you know how racist that is?" And eventually the supermarket staff kicked them out and apologized for their behavior. But there was absolutely no apology from the girls themselves. One of them would say, "It's not me. She said that. She did this. I was just with them." Kids these days don't realize how hurtful they're being. And as long as they're not being taught that what they're doing is wrong, they won't see it as wrong.
Stephanie also shares a story of a Filipino woman based in Birmingham who walked into a family-run store that she is a regular customer at. As part of the story, it's important to note that this woman was wearing headphones but not listening to anything.
The father and the son were at the tills, in quotes. He then told his dad that he would have to handle my order. His father stared at his son for what felt like an eon, aghast that he'd suggest such a thing. This man, who often smiles and strikes conversation with me, did not this day. It was a bit odd, I thought to myself, but I shrugged it off. Maybe he was having a bad day. I smiled as he scanned my items through. The father was speaking in Punjabi to his wife, and it was a panicked tone. And as she was punching in her pin, the son sighs frustratedly, and the son said, "Dad, she doesn't have the coronavirus. It's fine." And she remembers looking up, her mouth drops, but she quickly shuts it. She thanks them, she leaves. And I think that's just really heartbreaking to hear because, first of all, she's a regular customer at this family-run business. The family know her. And secondly, in my head, I thought, are they saying this out loud just because she has earphones in and they think that she can't hear them? It's not even a stranger this time. It's someone that she knows. It's going to affect her in the future when she decides to shop there again.
Following these stories, Stephanie shares a further experience from a Vietnamese person who shares what happened in their hometown in Kent.
In my hometown, a family had their car burnt and it had exploded. My family also knew them a little. And with my own family back in Kent, they received warnings, people telling them to stay away and giving looks. So something I didn't expect either was dating app. This person, 23 Vietnamese, uses Tinder and Hinge. And someone on Tinder matched her and said, in quotes, "Okay, first things first, have you got coronavirus?" And then one of her statements on Hinge was, "My biggest strength is," because she wanted to be, you know, she wanted to use a bit of humor into it. So she said, "Bring a little bit of Asian persuasion into your life." Someone replied to her, "Haven't you guys done enough at the moment?" This person did absolutely nothing wrong. You don't even know this person. And then they just go and attack her like this when she just wants to be, you know, whatever she wants to do. She wants to meet people. She wants to date people. And people decide to attack her like that. And it's crazy that it happened to her like more than once on more than one app.
I could share many more experiences that Stephanie told me, and I know that she has many more survey responses which she didn't share. I know it can be quite difficult to hear stories like this, whether you're part of an Asian community or not. It can be difficult to hear what's going on.
There were times where it really affected me for a while, and I felt so responsible for being able to make sure these stories are told, if that makes sense. These are real stories. These are real things that people are going through right now.
So there's lots of different experiences that people in the Asian communities have had. I just wanted to share those because it's not often that we hear reports of racism against East and Southeast Asian communities here in the UK. But I mean, it definitely happens. People are just not talking about it or writing about it enough. And I'm really grateful to everyone who is talking about this, who is sharing their experiences, and for people like Stephanie who are amplifying those voices. Because like for me, for example, me personally, I haven't noticed anyone treating me differently because I'm Chinese. There have been times where people have shouted at me to social distance, but I don't actually know whether that was because I was Chinese, which is why I wanted to share other people's experiences, just to show that it really, really is real. And even though I haven't had any of these experiences myself, that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect me. Every time I go out and do the grocery shopping or even to go for a walk where I'm not going to be in close contact with anybody else, I still feel the need to like keep my head down, stay really, really far away from people so they can't accuse me of trying to get them sick or I don't know. I live in a town where there's not that many Asian people. Actually, when I was walking around, I went for a walk with my sister the other day and we saw two, I think maybe East Asian people cycle past us. And then I was like trying not to stare because I was trying to figure out who are they? I've never seen, it's so rare for us to see anyone who is of any ethnic minority actually in my hometown. But yeah, I am pretty worried when I go out. I mean, this has been happening since the beginning of the year. So when I was still commuting into central London to go to work, I always felt like really, really conscious. And actually, a listener messaged in and said something similar. So she is British Chinese like me. And she said, "Did you feel somewhat prejudiced when it first started? In January/February, when I was out in public, I was so paranoid.
felt like everyone was looking at me in shops or public transport and felt like I couldn't even cough. That's totally how I felt, and I'm so glad to know I'm not the only one. Because, oh, like, when you're commuting on the tube, like, there's no such thing as social distancing. Everyone is really, really close to each other, and I just feel like I can't even clear my throat, just in case. And even more so now when I go to the supermarket, I'm just like hoping, praying in my head, I hope no one's racist. And I'm a pretty conflict averse person. I don't deal with it very well when someone shouts at me to social distance or accuses me of anything. I'm pretty soft with all of that stuff. And even though I feel like I have to keep my head down, I also feel like I have to show them that I am, you know, friendly and I'm from around here and I'm not from China. So I've been doing this for years, actually, but particularly now, every single time I walk near someone in the park or in the nature reserves near my house, I will say like, hiya, hey, just be like, thank you, hiya. And I'm trying to be like a little bit loud, a little bit British, a little bit, I don't know. And I just feel like if I say hiya rather than hello, then they'll definitely know that I'm from England, that I'm like them. And I shouldn't feel like I have to do that, but I do. I'm actually worried that they're going to think like, oh, who's that Chinese family? Where did they come from? They're not from around here. I hope they haven't brought any germs. And like, no one has actually said anything to me, but I still feel like I have to act differently, which is really, really annoying. I guess I'm just doing it for my own best interests. I really wish I didn't though.
I also want to share something which was written by Andrew Yang. So Andrew Yang is a Taiwanese-American man, and he was actually one of the Democratic candidates for president. He did pretty well, actually. I mean, all things considered, yeah, he did pretty well. And so he was actually running for president in the US up until earlier this year. And he basically advised Asian Americans who were dealing with racism to kind of prove themselves as Americans. He says, I'm going to quote, "We Asian Americans need to embrace and show our Americanness in ways we have never had before. We need to step up, help our neighbours, donate gear, vote, wear red, white and blue, volunteer, blah, 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 blah," and the list continues. This just rubbed me the wrong way because he's basically saying that Asian Americans need to change their behaviour and almost accept responsibility, even though they had nothing to do with coronavirus starting or spreading. And that's also relevant where I am in the UK, because there has been several conversations about BAME communities and the coronavirus. One of them is, yes, BAME communities seem to be more susceptible or dying more because of coronavirus. But another one of them is the hashtag #YouClapForUsNow, which was a viral video which had, it was a compilation of different individuals with different ethnic backgrounds all in the UK. They were reading a poem which was, it was basically to highlight how many BAME people there are who are working as key workers, which is important to highlight, especially because a lot of the conversation, even just a couple of months ago, was treating immigrants as sort of less than. So I don't know whether the people in the video are immigrants or whether they're British ethnic minority people. It's basically a really great video to sort of highlight the contribution that different ethnic backgrounds have in the UK, including as essential workers, doing really important work while a lot of us have the luxury of working from home. A lot of these people are working as key workers. But I just don't want it to have a sentiment of, oh, ethnic minority people, they need to prove themselves. They need to work as key workers in order to show their worth or to be respected. I mean, you know, some people are just trying to live their lives just like everyone else. I have a quote from Gal Dem from their Instagram page. It says, "By this point, many minority healthcare workers have lost their lives helping this country in a society that has done nothing but peddle anti-immigrant rhetoric and stoke racist fears. It is only now, when lives are lost, that people are claiming to finally see the benefits of having us here." And there's a quote that they include that says, "The whole warlike language really upsets and triggers me because it makes me feel like I've been conscripted. No healthcare professional signed up to risk their lives." And yeah, there is a lot of that from the UK government. There is a lot of, we need to stay alert and fight the virus almost as if it's an enemy. And it's very like warlike language. And ethnic minority people don't need to work for the NHS and prove their worth and sort of act as martyrs dying for their country in order to be respected as like equal or British people. I actually have an anecdote from a Yellow Bee Pod listener. She's British Asian and has heritage from Mongolia. She says, I'm helping out as a part-time fundraising manager for the RSPCA, which is an animal charity. And she has been wearing her RSPCA, so the charity's jumper, out every time. And she's doing this because she says, just so I kind of don't get the looks and just trying to mind my own business. It helps. She goes on to say, they think I'm a key worker, so I've found that I'm barely looked at now. So yeah, people are suddenly worthy of respect just because they might be doing essential work. And yeah, we should give those people a lot of respect. But again, you don't need to, like, ethnic minority people shouldn't have to prove themselves in order to be seen as human beings. There's another American piece that I want to read out. This was a op-ed published in the LA Times, and it's written by John Cho, who is a Korean-American actor. You might recognise his face from some movies. To be honest, the whole piece is worth reading, so I'll put the link in the show notes as well. There's a lot to pull out, but I wanted to highlight one particular part talking about Asian Americans. He says, the pandemic is reminding us that our belonging is conditional. One moment we are Americans, the next moment we are all foreigners who brought the virus here. And that's kind of something that worries me here in the UK, because I feel like I am seen as pretty westernised, pretty British, as someone who is British born and British raised. But now that there's this global pandemic which originated in China, people now look at me as not British. I'm suddenly otherwise and seen as someone who is guilty of bringing the virus or causing it. It just shows that even though I thought I was fully accepted into the British community, the very diverse British community, there is an underlying feeling that I will always be seen as different, as other, and as a foreigner. So this is where we're at now. I've basically thrown out all of my thoughts about the COVID-19 related racism, all the reports that we've seen since the start of the year, a whole range of different things there. But where are we now? And where will we be going moving forwards? At this point, we're in a place where people like myself are worried and acting differently when we go out. There's also people getting verbally abused and physically abused, as well as vandalism and other racist attacks. But what's going to happen in the future? And to be honest, I really want to know, what can we do about it? I'm going to share another batch of experiences that Stephanie So collected in her survey. So as well as collecting people's experiences with COVID-19 related racism, she also collected people's thoughts on what it might be like in the future.
So the first topic that people were talking about was the fact that after all this is over, after the pandemic is over, the racism will still be there. This person is female Chinese from London. In quotes, there will still be remnants of racism from the virus as it has become a big part of our lives. And similar to this, a female Indian person also said the pandemic could forever be used as an excuse to justify xenophobia. E.g., in quotes, the Chinese ruined the world in 2020. It's so easy to imagine that happening. A lot of people were saying similar things to this, the fact that after all this is over, it's still going to be here. An 18-year-old female Chinese person said, I'm not personally affected one bit by race/ethnic-related jokes or memes on the internet. The only real problem I have with this is when it gets explicitly confrontational or violent. I've read so many cases of hate crime against Asians in white-dominated countries, especially such as random people pouring boiling water on unsuspecting Asians, beating up elderly Asian people, pulling up dangerous weapons such as hand knives to confront Asians, and even worse, it really hurts to see such articles or watch such videos.
Stephanie also shared a worry that she had the previous week when her mum had popped into a supermarket and Stephanie was waiting for her in the car. After 5 minutes, she began to feel scared for her mum and really worried.
I remember this vividly, and I grew so anxious that I asked my dad, should I just get out of the car and see if she's all right? And I shouldn't have to worry about that. in my head, I was thinking the worst. I was thinking, oh my God, I wonder if she's getting hurt right now. No one knows. What if she's getting racially abused, et cetera, et cetera. I shouldn't have to worry like that. And no one should ever worry about that. No one should worry about their parents going out by themselves and not coming back. And a lot of people said in the survey as well that they were worried about their parents going out for a walk, their grandparents going off alone. And this kind of emphasizes that no one really wins from the virus. A lot of people think, you know, like, you must have it easy. Not many people are racist towards you. Not many people discriminate you. But it just emphasizes that we're all struggling from the same thing, no matter what skin color we may have. It wasn't just people of Asian origin that were talking to me about this, but a female white British person said that, quote, pandemic conditions have created a culture of fear that has prompted some individuals to express underlying racist sentiments. I am fearful for the mental health of my friends who may suffer from this, as well as for young, impressionable people who may be hearing racist remarks and consider them acceptable, end quote. I also just want to point out a British Pakistani male who talks about the worries of the fact that there's going to be more mistreatment of others, there's going to be more racist and xenophobic acts. And something poignant that he said was, quote, I was born here, but they don't care, end quote. That's it.
So you just heard from Stephanie So, who has shared some further experiences and testimonials, if that's the right word, from people who completed her survey about COVID-19 and related racism. And I'm thinking a lot now about what it will be like moving forward. We know that we're going to be in a new normal, but what does that actually look like, particularly in terms of racism? I share some of the sentiments with the people that Stephanie spoke about in the terms of how do I make sure I'm safe, that my family's safe, particularly people in my family who don't speak English as a first language, so are seen as even more otherized and foreign compared to me. It's not necessarily all negative sentiments. Another listener who is British Chinese, and he says, since the whole COVID-19 pandemic has taken hold, I've never been so self-aware that I am of Chinese ethnicity in all my time living in the UK. You do hear the odd story of East Asians being racially abused. You always do get the tiny minority who are ignorant and prejudiced, but I do think 95% of the general public are fine and understanding. I drove past a local Chinese takeaway which was still open, and a few people were waiting for their order, which was reassuring to see. The British do love their takeaway food and a pandemic won't stop them, lol. Well, it's good to hear that some people are still using their local Asian businesses. I could really do with some Chinese takeaway now, to be honest. I haven't had any takeaways or food delivery since March now, but I could really do with some Chinese takeaway. But something I do want to see change, and something that I find really frustrating, is people of Asian descent making jokes at the extent of Asian people. So using jokes about eating bats or eating dogs. I mean, I don't know. I've been spending a lot of time on TikTok recently, and I see a lot of, well, I guess most people on TikTok are pretty young. They might be of like some kind of Asian descent, and they're making jokes that are sort of anti-Chinese or making damaging jokes about the stereotypes. And it's hard because maybe they're just doing that because they want to fit in and they just want to laugh along with everyone else who's laughing at them as well. And I'm definitely guilty of making jokes about myself or Chinese people as well in the past. And some of these times it was me trying to distance myself from other people of Chinese descent. So yeah, just trying to fit in. Other times it was me repeating jokes that had been said to me, and just trying to be lighthearted and actually brush it off as a joke, and trying to protect myself from confrontation. And I'm saying that they're jokes because they were trying to be, but really it was just racist. But yeah, I've made those jokes in the past and it's all right. We're all learning. I've really tried to change that now and not make those jokes anymore. And I really wish that other Asian people didn't make those jokes because it just ingrains it more. Because if someone might say like, oh, I've had people say this to me. They've said like, oh, my other Chinese friend doesn't mind when I call him chinky, or if I say things, making jokes about eating dog for dinner. And I hate that. It's so frustrating because I feel like we're trying to move forwards, but people commenting under racist, jokey videos saying, oh, I'm Asian and I approve this. I'm Asian and I think this is funny. That it's not funny. It just makes us move backwards. And if you're not Asian, definitely don't make jokes like this. I hate to see it. Another thing that I'm quite conscious of, even before this year and before COVID-19, but especially now, is we know that there is a lot of anti-Chinese sentiments across parts of Asia, particularly like Hong Kong comes to mind, Tibet comes to mind. So there are anti-Chinese sentiments in Asia as well. But for me, even though I'm Chinese and I definitely say I'm 100% Chinese, I still know that I know very, very little about China as an actual country. You would have to go at least a couple of generations back in my family to find someone who's actually from the country of China. And I know that most of the things I hear about China are from a Western point of view. So mainly UK or sometimes the US. And when things are written from a certain point of view, there can be an agenda, like a hidden bias. And because I don't understand or read Mandarin, I usually only hear things from this one point of view. And sometimes I need to remind myself that if I'm reading something, it could be really, really biased. And sometimes it's noticeable and sometimes it's hidden. Like, I've seen articles that I've written with a very, like, West is best mindset. And I'm not out here saying that I am pro-China. I actually, this is me admitting my ignorance now, but there's a lot of stuff that I really don't know about China. And I'm not only talking about, like, Daily Mail and other rubbish news sources, but actually all news sources can be guilty of like pushing an agenda or having a bias. And that's also the case if you think about like history books, which I mean, in an ideal world would be accurate. They are written with a certain bias and from a certain angle. And I just need to remind myself of that because it's quite easy for me to have an anti-China sentiment that I've picked up from very, very biased information and opinion pieces. So I've spoken about a whole bunch in this episode. Really, really grateful for the contributors, including listeners of this podcast who have shared their experiences, and also Suwen and Steph who shared their contribution. Don't forget to stick around for a poem at the end. I'm really, really glad that I have something kind of different, like a different way to end the podcast episode. There's a few different hashtags that I'm following again, which are created by different groups who want to highlight the racism. So hashtag wash the hate, hashtag hate is a virus, hashtag corona racism, hashtag I will eat with you. That was about sort of Asian restaurants not getting business pre-lockdown. And hashtag I am not a virus, which is so true. I am not a virus. Please don't put your fears or take your frustrations out on people who are Chinese or who you believe to be Chinese. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you wouldn't, but, you know, there's other people out there. I'm coming to the end of this episode now, and I'm really thinking about how I'm going to be moving forwards as someone who is Chinese and in the UK. And I am surprised about how much I had to say, but once I started making some notes about things I wanted to cover in this episode, I realised quite how many opinions I had on it. And I hate it, to be honest. I would love to turn a blind eye to mute all the group chats and ignore all the race-fueled racist jokes and the acts of violence. I would love to just like forget about it and be ignorant, but I can't because I know about it and it's not going away. If anything, I genuinely think it's going to get worse, which is why I'm trying to push the conversation and get people talking about it, especially those of any ethnicity who might otherwise not be thinking about it. So before I close out, I'll do a plug of the Instagram and Twitter at yellowbpod and also our email address yellowbpod@gmail.com. Please stay safe, stay healthy, look after yourself first and foremost, but also your loved ones and the wider community. If you enjoyed this episode or if you found it interesting, please share it with someone that you know, someone who you think might also benefit from it or find it interesting. Now I'm going to end with this poem that I keep mentioning. The poem is called Our Family is Beautiful. It's by a Chinese-American poet called Jenna Liu, and she's also the one who's reading it out, which I'm really, really lucky to have. And so I hope you enjoy it. I hope you found this episode at least thought-provoking. And yeah, again, I'm really keen to push the dialogue. So let's keep talking about it, because really, this racism isn't going to go away by itself.
Our Family is Beautiful by Jenna Liu. Our family is beautiful. I am not talking about our straight black hair, our delicate, determined facade, our values that you could feel on our palms from working more than our share to keep the family off the streets. Our family is beautiful, even when fear takes over our faces, when we walk down the streets. You can never tell what people are thinking. And some of us are now marred by bruises, eyes that are supposed to see, but now they become painful to open, and hurtful words. We closed our eyes even at the sound of birds. You can never tell what they say. I cannot walk alone anymore, not just because I am female. Now tell me, should I be afraid to speak my language, or is my appearance the target for another scar, bruise, or the never-ending spat of hateful words? Because being sick is an act of danger. We are the supposed danger. Standing up for ourselves once again, as if the past has not been enough. Lips sealed tight while we keep moving forward, holding our coughs like holding our tongue, because we have more to say, even with the face masks. Those face masks cover our breath, but it will never conceal our vocal cords, our truths. This is mine, my family, and my family is beautiful. It's just the scars that others made that are ugly.